Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fellow was at a dinner party. Not me, I wrote about that in one of my daily devotions here not long ago, but this is a different scenario, so if you're thinking of that story, it's not the same one. Fellow was at a dinner party and he walked up to a group and they were discussing politics. And he stepped in and listened for a moment, and he said, because it was right around that time of year, he said, "I'd like to talk about Easter." And the general consensus in the group was, well, we have more important things to talk about than that. I mean, we've got serious political issues on our table here these days. We have things we have to really be considerate about as citizens. We've got things that are very important, serious to discuss. We haven't got time to talk about that kind of thing. So he wandered on to another group there at the dinner party and walked up to the group, and they were discussing education. And they talked about various matters that you might be familiar with, and he finally said, "Say, could we talk about Easter?" At which point the response was pretty much what he'd gotten at the first gathering was, "Well, we have more important things. We're talking about education here. You know, our schools are in trouble, and teachers need help or need to be gotten rid of or whatever it might be, but we have a lot of issues. We don't have enough money for our schools, and this is a really important, serious matters here. We've got time to talk about Easter." So he went to another group who was standing around chatting, and went up to them, and they were talking about economics. And they were discussing the, you know, finances of the country. They were discussing their own portfolios and the stock market and retirement and important, serious matters regarding financial issues. And finally, he stepped in and said, "Say, I'd like to talk about Easter." And of course, the response was the same. They turned to him and said, "Hey, listen, we're talking about serious things here. You know, we don't have time for that stuff. Yeah, we got to be concerned about retirement here. We've got to be concerned about the solvency of our country, our businesses. We haven't got time to talk about something like this." Well, he wasn't going to give up, so he found one more bunch sitting around a coffee table. And so he sat down. They were talking about science. He didn't wait. He just started talking about Easter. He didn't ask this time. And he got into it a ways. He told the story of Jesus being crucified and how he was buried, and then the third day God raised him from the dead and he appeared to his disciples, and what a wonderful thing. And then he was interrupted by one of the guys who had been sitting there, who had been patiently or maybe not so patiently waiting for him to finish. And he said, "You know, I heard these stories when I was a kid in Sunday school. I've heard this. Now, I suppose, what's next? Noah? You can tell us Noah's story? Maybe Abraham or some of those other old guys? We don't, come on, we're talking about science here. These are important, serious matters. The exploration of outer space, new discoveries, new medical advances, technologies. We're talking about serious things here. Don't bring these old stories to us. Well, if it wasn't so true, it would be funny. But this is the world we live in. This is the way it is. Those of us who tell this story are simply not serious. We're not serious. These aren't cutting-edge issues. Serious issues have to do with politics, finance, economics, science, education. At least when you listen to television news or read magazines and other media that deal with the issues in front of us today, those are the things that matter, apparently. Those are the things that are really important, the serious things. So the fellow sat and listened to the mild rebuke that he was offered for being nothing more than a Sunday school child in the midst of adults. And he calmly said, "One would think that life and death are serious matters. One would think that life and death are serious matters." Well, it got kind of quiet. Well, one of my old, guitar heroes was George Harrison, the Beatle. Remember George Harrison? Yeah. There are some things about George that we probably wouldn't want to talk about in church, but, you know, he was a Beatle. What else can you say, you know? But I heard an interview with George Harrison a number of years ago. It was very interesting. The interviewer was throwing softballs up, you know, the typical Beatle questions. And right in the middle of all this, George Harrison dives right in and he says, you know what really amazes me is that people aren't concerned about death. And the poor guy who was interviewing him, you know, who was sort of one notch above a disc jockey, you know, was absolutely tongue-tied. It is interesting, isn't it, that the questions of life and death are so peripheral to us in daily life. Economics? Well, we're all about that. Education? Well, you know the list. I just gave it to you. We got lots of opinions, and we're willing to talk about them almost anywhere at the drop of a hat, aren't we? We'll discuss them ad nauseum, endlessly, you know. And, you know, dinner parties and other gatherings are good for that. You know, I was up with my boys up in L.A. about a year ago, I guess, and they were having a group over to this house in Echo Park where my younger son lives, and they were out in the backyard with a bunch of their friends, and it was in the evening, and these are all young people, you know, in their 20s and early 30s at the oldest, and working in web businesses, and some work in the movie business, and they're up there in that part of L.A., and I was listening to the discussions, you know, and it was fascinating because it was really about the same stuff. Education, politics, finance, pop culture was big. And that's what we do when we get together in those kinds of settings. We, you know, we kick those things around. We talk about them. They're on our minds. They are serious to a point. But here's the thing. When you listen to Jesus this morning in the gospel lesson, he appears now to his disciples, and they're stunned, of course. He says something that caught my ear this past week. He said, the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed, not discussed. Our job as Christian people is not to enter into head-scratching discussions about, gee, isn't God interesting? Our job is to proclaim the good news of Jesus. See, the fellow had it right when he approached these different groups. I want to tell you about Easter. You can talk about this stuff all day. I want to actually tell you something that matters. In the long run, this is the only story that really has traction in this life. I mean, we are occupied with the other things, of course. That's part of our stewardship as God's creatures here. They all matter at some level. And we tend to them to the best of our ability. But no Christian sensibility is necessary to be concerned about those things. They are matters for the whole human community to be concerned about. So what are we concerned about here? Why are we here? What is our purpose? Should we start some discussion groups on politics? A lot of churches do. I was talking with a local pastor not that long ago, just a couple of years ago. And he said, when our clergy get together for their monthly gatherings, all we talk about is politics. That's what matters in our denomination. Not ours, but a different one. That's what has got people. Is that really who we are? Is that our job? See, I think when Jesus stood there at the head of that table, or wherever he was that day in that room with those guys, I think he was deadly serious in giving this mandate to his church. He didn't go through suffering, death, the gates of hell, to be raised from the dead, to have his people sit around and discuss things. For heaven's sake, he came out of that grave to provide a new future for a lost and fallen humanity. A real future. A future that politics and economics and education and science simply cannot bring, no matter how devoted we are to them. Future that only God can bring. And it comes through an encounter with this message. This is the mystery of the story that we've heard of Jesus. You know, we're here today, you and I in this place, because we've heard the story. Somewhere back there, Sunday school teacher, pastor, family member, somebody in our lives opened the Bible book of their lives and told us about Jesus, told us the story. That's what took hold of us. That's what gripped us. And that's the story that matters to us. That's what we're here to tell. That's our job. That's our business. Well, we can enter into the other discussions, of course, and as citizens and as creatures, as I say, we should. This is part of our obligation in a creaturely life. You know, we have to take care of the world we're in and the lives we've got. That's our job. Very important. But our job as Christian people is to point to the one who hung on the cross, who took away the sin of the world, the estrangement from its creator, and who has opened the grave and the future so that we may have hope, real hope. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I know when I listen on the tube to political discussions, I've tended to rant back on that, but I listen to The Five on Fox or whatever other group is sitting around, and you know, after a while, I just get weary of it. I almost get despairing listening to this rhetoric. You know, it's just, is there any real hope here? Is there any promise? Is it just all shooting cannons across the gap at one another? And the ones with the most guns wins? Well, we have something to say to a world that's caught in that paradigm. We have something to say. Just as the early Christians had something to say to those first communities that they encountered about, is there any hope? Is death the end? Is that it? Is this life going to just simply continue on its endless round of injustice and hopelessness and death? And the early Christians were able to say, no. He lives. This Jesus, whom was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he rose. He's back. He's alive. God is with us. The future is open. There is real hope. In the meantime, our task as God's people in this generation, in these few short years that we have to breathe and move, we have the story to tell. It's on our hands now. It's what's been placed in our trust as a stewardship. So by all means, friends in Christ, fellow citizens, next time you're at the cocktail party or wherever you are, in the backyard with the Gen Xers or wherever you may be, talk about politics. It's important. Talk about economics. Talk about education. And science has a lot to commend it. But as a Christian, may I be so bold as to suggest, tell about Jesus. Tell the story that we were called to tell. The story of the love of God poured out on the cross and vindicated in the risen Christ. You don't have to be embarrassed, certainly not ashamed, but you can be confident, for it is in God's own wisdom that it is in the very telling of the story that he has chosen to make himself known. Amen.